There was a livery stable with a sign out front reading, "Tack mended cheap." The sign over the hotel promised quiet rooms, good beds. There were at least 5 saloons. Outside one of them, a rusty robot that ran on squalling treads turned its bulb head back and forth, blaring a come on to the empty town from the horn-shaped speaker in the center of its rudimentary face. "Girls, girls, girls! Some are Humi and some are Saibi, but who cares? You can't tell the difference. They do what you want without complaint. Won't is not in their vocabulary. They give satisfaction with every action. Girls, girls, girls. Some are Saibi, some are real. You can't tell the difference when you cop a feel. They do what you want. They want what you want." Walking beside Susanna was the beautiful young white woman with the swollen belly, scratched legs, and shoulder-length black hair. Now, as they walked below the gaudy false front of the Fedic Good Time Saloon, Bar, and Dance Emporium, she was wearing a faded plaid dress, which advertised her advanced state of pregnancy in a way that made it seem freakish, almost a sign of the apocalypse. The huaraches of the castle allure had been replaced by scuffed and battered shore boots. Both of them were wearing shore boots, and the heels clumped hollowly on the boardwalk. From one of the deserted barrooms farther along came the herky-jerky jazz of a jag-time tune, and a snatch of some old poem came to Susanna. A bunch of the boys were whooping it up in the Malamute Saloon. She looked over the batwing doors and was not in the least surprised to see the words, "Services Malamute Saloon." She slowed long enough to peer over the batwing doors and saw a chrome piano playing itself. Dusty keys popping up and down, just a mechanical music box, no doubt built by the ever-popular North Central Positronics, entertaining a room that was empty except for a dead robot and, in the far corner, 2 skeletons working through the process of final decomposition, the one that would take them from bone to dust. Farther along, at the end of the town's single street, loomed the castle wall. It was so high and so wide, it blotted out most of the sky. Susanna abruptly knocked her fist against the side of her head. Then she held her hands out in front of her and snapped her fingers. "What are you doing?" Mia asked. "Tell me, I beg." "Making sure I'm here. Physically here." "You are." "So it seems. But how can that be?" Mia shook her head, indicating that she didn't know. On this, at least, Susanna was inclined to believe her. There was no dissenting word from Detta either. "This isn't what I expected," Susanna said, looking around. "It's not what I expected at all." "Nay?" asked her companion, and without much interest. Mia was moving in that awkward but strangely endearing duck-footed waddle that seems to best suit women in the last stages of their carry.
"And what was it you did expect, Susanna?"
"Something more medieval, I guess. More like that." She pointed at the castle. Mia shrugged as if to say, take it or leave it, and then said,
"Is the other one with you? The nasty one?"
"Detta," she meant, "of course. She's always with me. She's a part of me just as your chap is a part of you." Although how Mia could be pregnant, when it had been Susanna who caught the fuck, was something Susanna was still dying to know.
"I'll soon be delivered of mine," Mia said. "Will you never be delivered of yours?"
"I thought I was," Susanna said truthfully. "She came back. Mostly, I think, to deal with you."
"I hate her."
"I know." And Susanna knew more. Mia feared Detta as well. Feared her big, big.
"If she speaks, our palaver ends."
Susanna shrugged. "She comes when she comes, and speaks when she speaks. She doesn't ask my permission." Ahead of them, on this side of the street, was an arch with a sign above it. "Fedic Station. Mono Patricia discontinued. Thumbprint reader inoperative. Show ticket. North Central Positronics thanks you for your patience."